Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, Raider Nation Radio, live from the Raiders Worldwide Headquarters in Henderson, Nevada. Scott Gulbranson, Evan Grote with you, and as always, the show powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash, the injury attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Story of the day in the NFL, of course, is the story swirling around Russell Wilson. Today's The Athletic, the long and interesting story about Wilson and the rift between him and the Seahawks, quote-unquote, around power and control. And so we've been talking about that because, reportedly, the Raiders are a destination that Russell Wilson would consider if a trade was hatched between the Seahawks and several other teams mentioned there as well. So we decided, hey, let's go to the source of the story. Let's go to one of the guys who wrote it, along with two colleagues at The Athletic NFL. That, of course, is Mike Sando. Mike is the senior writer at The Athletic, also the host of the Football GM podcast. He's a Hall of Fame voter and a fellow member of the Pro Football Writers of America. Mike, thanks for being with us today on what I'm sure is just a crazy busy day for you.
Yeah, it's been a fun day, though. You know, the off season is almost more fun than the season, depending how well your team's doing, you know. So it's been fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because with this pop this morning, you know, of course, as you know, and we've talked before, Raider Nation has a very weird and decisive split on their quarterback, Derek Carr. It's very polarizing for some reason. And so when any time there's any speculation about another quarterback in the NFL and the Raiders are mentioned with it, people have a very visceral reaction to it. And we'll get to that and the possibility of Russell Wilson finding a new home and maybe even in Las Vegas. But first, I want to start with the great journalism that you guys did here. Of course, Michael Sean Duggar and Jason Jenks, your co-authors on this piece. But let's start with the Russell Wilson issue in Seattle. Russell Wilson, obviously a beloved member of the Seahawks. He's heavily involved, not only in the community there, but he has lots of business interest in Seattle. And so no one ever thought that Russell Wilson would get to a point where there was a big rift and he might be looking to get out in Seattle. But kind of take us from the 50,000 foot level on what is the key issue for Russell Wilson, as you've learned through your sources with Pete Carroll, with the Seahawks organization, and why he might consider leaving the Emerald City.
Yeah, you know, I don't think this story gets written, at least right now, if he hadn't come out right after the Super Bowl and really complained about the building of their offensive line and stressed how frequently he's been hit and sacked and really, you know, put that on the organization that needs to be done better. He went on Dan Patrick's show. He went to the Ellen DeGeneres show. He was very much more vocal, you know, kind of in a public way than he's been in the past. And that really led us to go and just collect the breadcrumbs that have been dropped over the last 7-8 years. They're all kind of known in Seattle, and I live in the Seattle area, and they've come up around contract negotiations and other points. But I think it's pretty clear, listening just to what Russell Wilson said. You know, he was talking about Tom Brady, LeBron James. That's the type of legacy he wants, and I think he watched the Super Bowl, was frustrated that Tom Brady changed and was able to get a win and picked some of the players, and he's kind of been pushing for that anyway in Seattle and hasn't gotten it to the degree that he's wanted, and so it's gotten kind of public here. I had to laugh because, I mean, if he thinks that Pete Carroll has too much control, does Gruden have less control of the Raiders?
Yeah, no. That, and Mike, that,
control than anybody.
That was the first thing, and why I'm very skeptical that he would find his way to Las Vegas from the beginning, and that's how I felt because of that. And you write in the story that, you know, Carroll's formula over and over again and how he's won with it is that conservative philosophy about, you know, how you methodically run the ball. That opens up the offense so then you can attack on offense. And it sounds awfully familiar to what I hear. And I'm sitting here in the building, the Raiders building, and that's what John Gruden does. And so when you look at Russell Wilson and you think about clearly he's been the most sacked quarterback in the NFL over his career. There's lots there that they need to do. But remember, going back when he was still on his rookie contract, and you guys write about this, they did address the offensive line, and then they gave him the big extension, and that limited them. So what Russell Wilson's asking for, outside of scheme and play calling and all that, but as far as the player personnel go, does he have a point? Does this team need to invest more to protect him, or are there other things afoot here?
Well, they certainly could have done a better job on the offensive line, and that, we pointed that out. Look, they were a high-spending offensive line team, then they paid Russell Wilson, and they paid a bunch of other guys, by the way, Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Marshawn Lynch, Michael Bennett, a bunch of really good Pro Bowl, borderline Hall of Fame players in some cases, and they let a bunch of linemen go, and they didn't re-sign Russell Okung, or they didn't re-sign not even guys who weren't that great, James Carpenter or whatever. No one at the time thought those were guys who they should have been funneling the money to, right? That being said, the line should be better. It hasn't been that great. I just didn't get the feeling watching the team every week that we were going to be talking about that after this season. I mean, they averaged 28 points a game. They hit some bumps down the stretch. Russell Wilson was part of that. They played some good defenses. That made it harder for them. And I just thought, hey, you'd come into this off season and continue to build the team. They won 12 games. You know, they won 11 the year before that, 10 the year before that, 9 the year before that. It didn't feel like this was really, you know, the crisis. So I think what it tells you is that it's bigger than that, right? It's everything for him. Maybe it's being frustrated that he hasn't been back to a Super Bowl since those years when they had a great defense, and feeling like the organization has let him down, which we can debate up and down, but I a little bit careful what you wish for, you know? I mean, I don't know how many situations would be way better. You're going to have issues. You go to Sean Payton, like it was on the list, or John Gruden, they're in complete control,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to let him be the GM.
Well, and that's one of the issues, too. Again, Mike Sando, senior writer at The Athletic, NFL, one of the co-authors of the big story on Russell Wilson today, is our guest here on Silver and Black today. And Mike, that's my question, too, because you guys outline in the story, too, before the Thursday night game against Arizona, when Wilson met with the coaches and he wanted influence on how they were scheming and some of the personnel, and he outlined some of his ideas, and they were completely dismissed, and from your sources told you, he just walked out of the meeting. And so you start to look at what we're seeing in the NFL. We're seeing with Deshaun Watson in Houston. Now, Deshaun Watson in Houston, a very different situation, because that organization has been the model of dysfunction opposed to where they are in Seattle. But you start to see this small group of NFL quarterbacks really pushing for more and more control over a lot of different areas in the NFL, like they've seen some of their friends in the NBA do. I know it's a very different game, very different dynamics there, but how much of that is in play here? Is it the control that somebody like Russell Wilson wants? Is that possible in the NFL?
I think the quarterbacks have always gotten special treatment, and it's only gotten more and more as the rules have changed and everything. I mean, one of the reasons Tom Brady's still playing and looks leaner than he's ever been is because he never gets smashed like they used to at the position. So There's been this trend toward this. I think what's really happened now is there's a huge money component to it, too. I mean, Russell Wilson was paid $53 million in cash in the last year, and 30 before that. So, you know, you get treated special, and then you get paid special, and, you know, you are special. He's amazing. He's an incredible player. I mean, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. So, you know, I mean, is it right that he would ask for more? I think that it's hard to...
Are you there, buddy?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Evan had a question for you. Sorry, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Russell Wilson has never really come off as the type of player that's a me-first kind of guy. I mean, he did just win the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. That doesn't happen by accident. But we've heard a little bit more recently comments from him himself talking more about his own legacy and his, you know, his career and things like that. Do you get the sense that this could be a case of maybe just his ego getting a little bit too big? Or is this how he's kind of always been?
Yeah, I think he's always been the type of person who, you know, one of his sayings is, why not me? You know, he dreams big. He's one of those guys who wouldn't be in this position as a 5'11" quarterback if he had just followed what everybody else's expectations for him were, right? So one of the great strengths of Russell Wilson is he believes in his greatness. He believes he can do this. Now, you know, in the team concept, there's probably limits to that, right? I mean, there's a line. and I think, you know, he's closer to that line, or you may, depending on your point of view, may think he's stepping over it. Is this going to create something in the locker room, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think football is the ultimate team game. And even when quarterbacks win, usually their defenses play well, Tom Brady, right? In the Tampa game, the defense, they allowed 9 points. So he's the MVP of the game, but they had to score 10 points to win the game. Why? Right? And that's true for most of these guys. Peyton Manning, when he won it with the Colts, Bob Sanders came back and they were good on defense in the playoffs. And when he won it with Denver, the defense carried him. So it's a team game, and I think when the quarterback is out front too much, yes, it could have a negative impact, and it could weigh into this. Is that going to happen in Seattle? I don't think it does if the quarterback plays great all the time. You know, I think you can get away with a lot. But he didn't play great down the stretch last year, and maybe some of that was on the team. Pete Carroll, you know, the allegations of him being outdated and all that offensively could be part of it. But I don't think he played as great as he could either, and he has to play great in order to justify the whatever he wants, the seat at the table and all that.
Yeah, and Mike, go ahead, Evan, you had a follow-up?
Yeah, just a follow-up, Mike. You know, you talked about the team having a strong defense, and do you think part of that is the problem here with Wilson is that, you know, early in his career, they had that success getting to those Super Bowls, but those teams were led by that strong defense. We all know that. Do you think that the organization is just not willing to, you know, part with that philosophy because they know that they can win the Super Bowl with a strong defense, and they believe that is the recipe to win, Russell sees himself as the main, you know, cog to all of this.
Yeah. I would tie it more into the running game, okay? I think defensively they want to be good, and they're not as good as they've been, right? All those great players we talked about, most of them aren't there, and they're kind of a middle-of-the-pack defense, and maybe they were a little better than that second half of the year, a lot worse than that the first half of the year. But I think, you know, when they turn the ball over, any defensive coach is going to take the ball out of the air, right? Or the air of the ball. He's going to run the ball more, and I think that happened this season. They were high-flying, the most pass-heavy team in the league, averaging 30-some points a game. They were throwing it more than Kansas City even, you know, early in the year. And then they hit a stretch. You know, they had 7 turnovers in 2 games. Russell Wilson did. And Pete Carroll's not going to let that happen. That's just a defensive coach. All of them are like that. Right? I mean, we may throw it, but you start turning it over, we're going to tighten in the reins. I think that's what happened. And he didn't overly tighten them, but he publicly tightened them. And when you see your legacy as Russell Wilson sees his, and he was so close to joining those guys, he was going to be the MVP. And yet here another year ends, he's never had even a vote for the MVP for his whole career. That was supposed to change. That seemed ordained to change. If you're Russell Wilson, you're going, why didn't that change? What happened? And how do we fix that? And so maybe that's we're seeing some of that frustration after he watched Tom Brady win his 7th right after changing teams.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mike, the question I have for you sort of in closing here, and maybe I'll ask you one more about possible destinations. But first, I want to ask you, I mean, do you think this is something clearly there's posturing going on here with agents and the team and the player and all that kind of stuff. And Russell Wilson with CAA and is with his wife, you know, he's got a lot of interest. He's got a lot of savvy. He's got a lot of brand. He's very polished. Do you think that this is a relationship with him and Pete Carroll? Because it's obviously a personal thing here, too. Related to football. Do you think this is something that they can get by, they can rectify, or do you think that the philosophical differences between what Pete Carroll knows and what he wants to do and what has worked in the past is just too much to overcome?
I think they could make it work. You know, I think it just takes them having a successful year on offense again and doing well, right? I mean, and maybe getting further in the playoffs, which they should have a chance to do. They're a pretty good team. They have a new coordinator, which Russell Wilson sat in on the interviews for those guys, and this was the guy that he wanted, Shane Waldron, who was under Sean McVay. So if I were the team, I would certainly be saying publicly at some point, we love Russell Wilson, right? I mean, this is silly. He's got 3 years left on his deal. I don't think anyone thinks Russell Wilson's going to hold out and not play. He's a competitor. I think he'll show up. I think he'll prepare. I think he'll work hard. I think he'll be tough. I mean, all those things that he's been, I would think, why wouldn't he be those things again? He's got 3 years left in his deal, right? If I'm Seattle, I'm only listening if someone gives me a good quarterback and a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to just move on and keep building with this team and try to make another run at it.
Yeah, and I know in closing, too, I know you guys just ran a piece I mentioned last segment where you explored, again, hypothetical trade offers from all the teams mentioned, including the Raiders. And I look at those offers that you guys came up with the Raiders, you had Derek Carr, a number one in 2022, John Simpson, the second-year guard, and Tanner Muse, the safety, as compensation. And to me, I look at those offers, and I look at the Raiders, and I look at the Cowboys. And again, I want to say on the record, Mike, I don't think Russell Wilson's going to go anywhere. But if he were, it's to me, your point about John Gruden and Pete Carroll having similar philosophies around football is a huge impediment and a huge red flag for me. But the Cowboys and the Raiders seem to me to be, along with the Dolphins, maybe if they wanted a young quarterback, seem to me the destinations where it was more possible because of that quarterback that could come back to Seattle at a lesser cost for them on the salary cap.
Dallas would be amazing. I mean, I think that would be fun. I think Dak Prescott has shown a lot. He's grown into the position, but maybe he's where Russell Wilson was 5 years ago or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? 4 years ago, where, God, this guy's better than we thought he was. I mean, we can win with him. Maybe we can get to the championship. Dak hasn't had that number one defense that Russell had, right? I mean, he had a good offensive line. He's had some good weapons. That's waned a little bit. His contract's up. That would actually be fun. I think Seattle, Pete Carroll could play his style exactly the same with Dak Prescott, and they may not be much worse, you know, and if Russell Wilson wants to chase glory and for America's team and be America's quarterback, and, you know, it feels good to him, who knows? But remember, Jerry Jones has a fair amount of power there, too. And
yeah.
Last time I checked, he's not having the players serve a general manager role. So,
no,
you know, I don't know where that part's coming from. You know, where are you going to get that? I don't think Tom Brady has that. You know what I mean? I mean, he was able to get Gronkowski and a couple guys, but I don't know that he's telling them, you know, who to draft.
No. Yeah, no, that's why it's interesting and why I think you're right. I think, you know, people, especially Russell Wilson, who earlier in his career, as you know, covering him and living up there, people would, you know, talk about how boring his press conferences were and he was all contrived. He wouldn't say anything. And now he comes out, obviously the frustration of losing in the playoffs and the way his year ended, and he kind of gives you all of this fodder. But my guess is that they'll work it out up there. And if they start rolling, especially since they still look to be so competitive in that NFC West, it'll be interesting. But Mike, we appreciate you spending so much time with us today. Great work by you and the team at The Athletic on covering that issue, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks very much.
All right, there you go. Mike Sando, senior NFL writer at The Athletic, also the host of the Football GM podcast, which is a great one. He votes on the Hall of Fame, and you can follow him at Sando NFL on Twitter. All right, great interview there. If you missed it, you just tuned in, we'll have it up on the podcast feed later tonight and pass it along to people. It's a great insight into the Russell Wilson situation and even the talk about the Raiders there. All right, we're going to take a break. When Evan and I come back, we'll get back to your phone calls. What did you think? 702-365-9200. Would you trade, again, just for fodder, would you trade Derek Carr, a number one in 2022, John Simpson, and Tanner Muse for Russell Wilson? We'll get your calls, 702-365-9200. Silver and Black Today rolls on a Thursday.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, welcome back. Silver and Black Today, 25 after the hour. Scott Gilbranson, Evan Grote. As always, Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friend Salmon Ash, the injury attorneys. Reach them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Evan, it's so amazing. I just got a DM from one of our listeners saying, okay, hopefully the next show, since tomorrow's our last show, won't talk about trading Carr ever.
Don't count on it. Let's not. Don't count on it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's like, guys, I just said, and I'm going to tell you right now, on the air, on the record, I think there's less than 0.5% chance that the Raiders trade Derek Carr. Okay? So there you go. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just telling it's – what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Scott, I got to comment on this. You know, I have a newfound respect for, and I've had that respect now for a couple of years, as long as I've been doing my podcast. It's tough. I mean, it's tough. I do a once a week show. You're doing a 2-hour show 5 days a week. I mean, you got to fill content. And when there's a story like this that's out there, I mean, we're going to talk about it. So, I mean, I think people out there aren't aware of how difficult it is to plan and produce and execute a show, especially this time of year. So that's what I would say to the listeners out there that are criticizing you about the content of the show.
Well, and I don't care if they criticize me. I got kooks out there one day I will share the crap that I get from people. And I'll expose them. I just don't like to give them the attention. But the stuff that I get is unbelievable. And I just don't share that and talk about it much. But when it comes to subject matter, if I got on the air today and made this all up and said, hey, I was thinking last night, what if the Raiders traded for Russell Wilson? Okay, fine. Then you could come at me and say, why are you making this stuff up? And I understand that, to your point. We as content producers, radio hosts, podcast hosts, newspaper writers, website writers, when it's slow, you have to come up with content. So you reach down in the bag and you find something that's relevant. Now, this news broke today. We just talked to Mike Sando. Mike Sando is one of the most respected NFL writers there is, okay? He is phenomenal. He, along with two of his colleagues, wrote that story because the Russell Wilson rift in Seattle just happened to have a Raiders angle because he mentioned as one of – I didn't mention them as one of the teams. I didn't say, and you didn't say, and other journalists didn't say, what if it was the Raiders? No. What we said was that's one of the reported teams. That doesn't mean the Raiders have an interest. No one said that. No one said the Raiders are going to trade Derek Carr. Okay? So chill. We're just talking about it.
And I bet if you were going, I bet if anybody was to go on to any national sports talk radio show today, they'd be talking about Russell Wilson and, you know, what's been put out there today by The Athletic, Mike Sando, and it's probably being talked about right now on ESPN.
Sure.
So, I mean, sure. This is a huge story in the NFL when you have one of its top players, Walter Payton, Man of the Year, who is kind of expressing his unhappiness,
right,
with an organization. It's a big story, and as you've said, it ties in with the Raiders because he mentioned them as one of the organizations.
Right. And you know, we could instead do 8 hours a week on the Raiders possible draft, or excuse me, possible cap cuts. I mean, if you want to talk about Trent Brown for 2 hours, we could do it. I just don't think it would be that interesting. But this is fascinating, too. Again, I go back to the point, and sometimes one of my favorite GIFs or GIFs, however you want to say it, the proper word is actually GIF, but most people hate saying it that way because they think you're talking about peanut butter. but is the one where it shows point and it's going over like this cartoon's head. Because the point to me here is not whether or not they should trade Derek Carr. And we're going to talk, by the way, Vinny Bonsignore will be up in about 10 minutes here. He just wrote a story for the RJ saying that the Raiders probably not going to pursue Russell Wilson. Duh. But a good story by Vinny if you haven't had a chance to read it yet. So we'll talk to him about it. But it's the situation is, if you're a Raiders fan, if you're a member of Raider Nation, you'd be like, damn, yeah, we'd be a great spot for him. We don't want him or he's not going to come. That's cool. We don't need it. Thank you. Appreciate it. But how cool is it that a future Hall of Famer, top five NFL quarterback, when he lists where he wants to go, and Deshaun Watson similarly had a list that was leaked out, and the Raiders weren't on it. So look at it from that perspective that, look, the Raiders have become attractive enough. Yes, they haven't made the playoffs since 16. Yes, they haven't advanced in the playoffs since 2002-3. Okay, so that's a long time. There's people alive listening to the show right now who've never seen the Raiders win a playoff game, okay? Figure that. But one of the greatest quarterbacks to play the game and a guy who's still got a lot left in the tank, said he would go to the Raiders. To me, Evan, that's the positive to look at here. And again, same if you're if you love Derek Carr. The fact that Derek Carr is being talked about only in relation to these names, too, is, I think, a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, in any profession, there's always going to be someone who is better than you, unless you're, you know, Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, or you're the absolute at the pinnacle. But for most of us, there's probably somebody better out there. There's a better phys ed teacher out there than me, I'm sure. But, you know, Derek Carr should not be ashamed of hearing these types of rumors being thrown around. These are great quarterbacks that they're talking about. The fan base shouldn't be offended by hearing these types of rumors. Again, top five quarterbacks that we're talking about. And as I said at the top, I'm flattered that as a Raider fan, that Russell Wilson wants to consider the Raiders, because you know what that tells me? Damn, you know what? Maybe they're not as far off as I think. You know, maybe they are more attractive to some potential free agents. So maybe other players around the league share that same thought as Russell Wilson, is that, you know what? The Raiders, they're on their way back. They're trending in the right direction. I like what they're building out there. I like the new, you know, facilities and all that stuff. So, you know, maybe this is common thought amongst other players in the league as well. So who knows? I mean, I just think that there is a positive from this as well. It's not just negative thoughts about, oh, here we go. Here's another story about, you know, possibly Derek Carr being traded. And as you said many times, it's not at all about Derek Carr being traded.
No.
The story is about Russell Wilson being unhappy and him telling you where he would be happy playing. That's the story.
Listen, 95% of the conversation we've had about Russell Wilson on the show today has been about Russell Wilson and where what he's doing, what he could be. We just had Mike Sando do a deep dive on the issues with Russell Wilson in Seattle. We barely talked about the Raiders. And I have listeners that are DMing me on Twitter saying, talk about the defense instead. Okay, the defense was bad. They have to fill spots. The end. I mean, you can't talk about the defense for 2 hours. What are you going to talk about? I mean, you want to review everybody at their positions? They have no defensive linemen right now to speak of. They have two up front. So my point is, and listen, I appreciate our listeners. I respect our listeners. I'm not trying to slam anybody, and I'm happy to have disagreements and conversations respectfully, because a 99% of you who interact with me, with the show, with Raider Nation Radio, do it respectfully, even when you disagree. But this is the biggest story in the NFL today, so we're talking about it, and I think it's interesting that the Raiders were mentioned. If the Raiders weren't mentioned as that, I would be talking about it, but I wouldn't even mention the Raiders. I wouldn't say, well, what about the Raiders? No, I would just say, hey, Russell Wilson, here's what's going on. Let's get Mike Sando on to talk about it. It's a big story in the NFL. And so, yeah, I mean, that's where it's at. So I don't know why people, to your point, Evan, at the top of the show, I don't know why people get so sensitive about stuff. And if you're tired of hearing about it, then just tune out until August or draft time. Uh-oh.
You tell
them, right. Scott. Uh-oh. Somebody nuked me? What's the deal?
No, I'm saying you're dropping a truth bomb on him. You tell him.
Oh, you got it. That's
that
DeMond.
Was good. I like that.
That's DeMond Cotton back in the studio. But it is true. It's like, okay, check in at the draft time. But then what'll happen, we'll start talking about so let's say we spend the next week talking about the draft. Well, you don't know anything. It's not even free agency yet. Okay, so you don't want us to talk about the draft or mock draft because they haven't signed free agents yet. Okay, so that means that we should just all go off the air until March 17th. Okay, there we go. We got it. Great job. Great feedback. Thank you. But Evan, that's the thing too. I mean, look, with the Raiders, it is a time where usually in a normal year, we would have the combine this week.
Correct.
So yeah, we could talk.
Go ahead.
We could talk specifically about defensive players that we liked in the combine. And I know there's some of you four cone geeks out there. The most ridiculous thing that matters very little. But there are some of you who want to watch the four cone. Got to have the four cone. You got a sound for the four cone, DeMond? But nonetheless, we'd be talking about that, no doubt. Right, Evan? I mean, I miss the combine. I mean, it would be awesome to see some of these guys working out.
You know, I listened to you earlier in the week, and you were breaking down potential free agent fits for the defense with Hondo. And so, you know, you cover... Scott, you cover all the bases. You always do. And, you know, it comes with the territory, right? And you know that. But it all comes from a good place with Raider fans. We're passionate.
No, they're awesome.
You know, yeah. And that's what it comes down to. But, I don't see, personally, I love stories like this. And even though it's about a player from another team, as Mike Sando pointed out in his piece, the storyline just has everything that, you know, we love in life. There's a power struggle. It involves money, control. And it's just fascinating to me that, you know, for 9 years, this relationship has seemingly been very good. The Seahawks organization has been very good with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
Playoff appearances in 8 of his 9 seasons. And then all of a sudden, you know, some emotions get involved and frustrations, and it starts to, you know, play a large role. And to me, it's just an interesting story. And then when you spin the Raiders aspect into it, you know, how could we not talk about it? So I think it's a fascinating story, really. I really do.
But Evan, you should be talking about the defense.
What do you want me to say? They stink. There you go. There's my opinion. The defense is...
They need to draft them. They need to sign free agents. Yes, we all know what the defense needs.
Yeah.
Oh, my good. But a great interview by my colleague and friend JT the Brick, by the way, on the show before us. He had David Irving on, who I think is actually going to be a sneaky, really big deal for the Raiders next year. So good kudos to JT for bringing him on. All right, we're going to go out on a phone call here before we hit our final break. It is Tom in the District of Columbia. Tom, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Scott, Evan, good to talk to you this evening.
Good to talk to you, man.
And Scott, first of all, I want to wish you well in your future endeavors, and I know that you've had health to take care of, and just want to let you know that on behalf of all of us from the Only Nation podcast and everybody else nationwide, you have our prayers and our best wishes going forward.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. You guys are great, and I would be happy to come on the podcast anytime. It's a blast. You guys are doing great work, and I recommend it to anybody.
Thanks. Listen, this whole story with Russell Wilson, wow, what a story. And again, as Evan just mentioned, you know, when feelings get kind of, feathers get ruffled a little bit, and all of a sudden you have a star athlete who's less than enamored with his current team, and of course somebody of such a high caliber as Russell Wilson, it's definitely a story. And of course, the Raiders were mentioned on the short list of teams that he would not mind playing for, and, you know, that puts our whole offseason into a quandary. I'll just kind of shut up and listen from here.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, again, you know, no one here on this show, and my man, thanks for the call, I appreciate that. No one here on the show is advocating for a trade or that the Raiders are doing it. And Vinny's going to come up next, and he actually just wrote a story on that, how the Raiders aren't likely to pursue that. And I agree with him, and so we'll talk about that. Although I disagree with him on some of the compensation stuff, so we'll talk about that. But we'll do that. We're going to go back on the phone lines before we get to the break. I want to make sure I get all the callers in. It is Charles in Bowling Green. Charles, you're on with Scott and Evan. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Scott. Just want to say, buddy, I'm going to miss you. I started out with listening to your podcast when you very first started and followed you to the show. So just God bless you. Good luck. And I'll be praying for you.
I appreciate
that. And, you know, real quick on just the whole Derek Carr thing, I think Raider Nation is so frustrated. I'll be honest. This is the first year, and I'm probably one of the most positive Raider fans you'll ever meet. This is the first year that I feel like we may take a step back next year, and that's scary. That's a really scary. I just don't see how we fix it with the tackle issue and losing all these defensive players. And I hope I'm wrong, you know, but I just don't see how we can fix it. There's not, unless we sign a stud, and we need a really good, you know, defensive player. So I think when the Carr issue comes up, anytime they talk about trade, I think Raider Nation is just frustrated. We want to see something different. You know, we do the same thing every year and it's not working.
Yeah,
and you got how many coaches and GMs get fired every year because they think they know what they're doing? So I think that's the part that's probably really Raider Nation is frustrated about, because if we don't trade Carr this year, and I'm not saying I want us to trade Carr, his max value goes down, and we all know why, because these teams that could make the playoffs need a quarterback, and after that, that's it. Carr's our quarterback, and so I don't know the right thing to do. I wish I did. I'd be a GM, right?
Yeah. No, I get it, Charles, and thank you for the kind words. And yeah, you keep in touch with us. We'll have some podcasts run up and running, as well as I'll hopefully be on Evan's Just Pod Baby, and then we'll be doing live videos once I get recovered a little bit from some of this stuff. We'll do that as well. So I appreciate that very much. But I understand it because I didn't grow up and I was not a Raiders fan like these guys are. Maybe that's why I'm more optimistic. Like, I don't think they're going to take a step backwards. I understand the needs and the things that you have to do to change, but I don't believe that they're going to take a step backward. I think they will take a step forward next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've seen some steady growth, under Gruden in his second stint with the team. And although last year, I think a lot of us were hoping to see a little bit more growth than we did, I still think they're on the right track. I think, moving on from Paul Gunther will pay some dividends and Bradley comes in and hopefully address the defense, bring in some pieces. And I think they're on their way. I don't think they're as far off as some think, but get the defense figured out and continue to improve in specific areas on offense. As we've talked about, the red zone got to be one of those areas.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, one more quick call. It's our good friend Just Win Wendy. What's going on, Wendy?
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment, and that is that, it's all over the news, power and a 10-year relationship having a problem, and money is a big problem. I mean, free Britney.
Oh, Wendy, that was a good laugh. I needed that
I
one. That was
it.
Good. That
so,
was good.
Whether maybe we just need to put out a free Russell from his poor conservative ship.
And the $53 million he's made over the last 2 years.
I feel so bad for him, really.
Oh, my God. Right. That's too funny. All right, Wendy, okay. You have a good one.
Take care. Bye.
You too. All right. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Vinny Bonsignor will join us. You're here with Evan and Scott, Silver and Black today, live from the Raiders headquarters in Henderson.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here's your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio. And I want to remind you, I have all the energy today because of Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. That's right. It's great nutrition, the entire family. I use it as meal replacement for lunch. Certified gluten-free, all-natural ingredients, no artificial sweeteners, superfoods like spinach, kale, and quinoa. And also, they taste great. They don't taste like you're eating a leather shoe. This is really good stuff. And Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars, you can buy them at drjensnutrition.com. Use the code SBT10. And you get a special discount plus free shipping. Dr. Jen, Dr. Andrew, their son, Aiden. Also, you can buy them Vegas Discount Nutrition, also Terrible Herbst throughout Las Vegas Valley. Good folks. They are members of Raider Nation, and I know Raider Nation supports Raider Nation. All right, Evan Grote, Scott Culbranson back with you, and we bring in our guy, Vinny Bonsignor, who's coming up next in the huddle from 4 to 6. Vinny, we know the trade is imminent.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Well, I'm trading you a box of Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. No. Hey, listen, I know you put out a story, too, about the Raiders. And listen, we brought up the story. I had Mike Sando, who you know well, at the top of the hour to talk about the Russell Wilson situation. The Raiders being mentioned, my point all along. And people, of course, the pro and anti-Derek Carr people have come out of the woodwork again. And I've said all along, I don't believe the Raiders. I think I said less than a 1% chance, and it's probably less than that. But I said, here's the issue. The Raiders being mentioned as a team he would accept a trade to is a positive. It doesn't mean that's going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I've been saying for a while now that the Raiders are a viable destination and a popular destination. I was talking, who I was talking with. I think it was yesterday with Clay and Pritch about the feedback that I was getting from defensive coordinators that were interested in the Raider job. When it was open, the defensive coordinator job when it was open was. That's not a bad place, and the cupboard's not bare. There's talent on the field, a lot of young talent. There's a will to win, from the top of the organization on down. So it's interesting sometimes how situations are viewed sometimes by the fan base compared to how it's viewed across the NFL. And so if that gives you any indication, there were, hey, this is a pretty popular, this is a good job. This is a job that defensive coordinators wanted to step into, in spite of the fact that this is a defense that gave up 30 points per game. So they were seeing things that I think fans sometimes overlook. And I think that the Raiders here in Las Vegas, especially now being in Vegas, and it's the cost of living here is great. There's no state tax. There's a beautiful new stadium. There's a beautiful new facility in Henderson. There's an offense that's moving in the right direction. There's talent on defense, a new defensive coordinator. There's a lot to like about the Raiders being in Las Vegas, and players are going to recognize that.
Hey, Vinny, it's Evan. I haven't had a chance to read your latest piece, but I want to ask you about something. I think it was a couple weeks ago when you tweeted this out, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I don't have it 100% accurate. I'm not reading it word for word here, but when all that talk about Deshaun Watson was getting real hot and heavy, I think what you said was is you felt about 80% confident that if Watson was made available, that you felt the Raiders would make a trade for, you know, trade Carr possibly, and then go after Watson. I did skim your piece briefly. You don't sound as confident about a deal for Wilson. Why is that? Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, and I don't think I said 80% sure. I was the article that I wrote a couple of weeks ago was that there was interest in Derek Carr from around the league. There were various teams that were, you know, that are interested in bringing in Derek Carr as their quarterback. And what I did in that article was, hey, you know, talk to some general managers around the league. What would an asking price be for Derek Carr? What would be a viable asking price for Derek Carr? And then also, why would the Raiders trade him? And so from that perspective, from the feedback I got from people around the NFL, was two first round picks would be a fair market for Derek Carr. Not necessarily the Jets' two first round picks, but lower in the draft first round picks. You know, if you're a team in the playoffs, pick it in the 20s, that would be fair value for Derek Carr. And then, but you're only going to trade Derek Carr if there's simultaneously a better option to replace him with. And that's where the Deshaun Watson part of it came into play. If all of those things happen, yeah, the Raiders, why wouldn't they be interested? That would be a represent a dramatic upgrade. In terms of Russell Wilson, in a vacuum, of course, the Raiders, as a bunch of other teams, should be interested in Russell Wilson. He's arguably a top, what, 3-4 quarterback in the NFL. I've literally seen him win games, not single-handedly, because that's impossible, but as close to single-handedly as possible, just willing his team to wins against the Rams in games that I covered where if it wasn't for him, they don't win the game, period, exclamation point. They probably get blown out. He's that good of a quarterback. But the issue isn't, you know, would the Raiders be interested in Russell Wilson? The question is, would the Raiders be interested in Russell Wilson at the price that it would cost to go get him? And in talking to some people across the NFL today, they feel like a market for Russell Wilson would eclipse what Matthew Stafford got from the Rams to trade for Stafford. So you're already talking about, obviously, Carr would probably be included in a trade like that. Matthew Stafford got two first-round picks and a third-round pick. The thinking around the league is that Russell Wilson commands more than Matthew Stafford. He's a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford. So you'd probably be talking about Derek Carr, multiple first-round picks, at least, maybe three first-round picks for him. And would they be interested at that point? That's a lot to give up. And also, speaking outside the vacuum, you also have, if you're the Raiders, a bunch of needs defensively. And are you? Does it make sense to take some of the assets that you would be using toward defense to go get, you know, a Russell Wilson? Does that make sense? So, for those reasons, I would tend to think that it's unlikely that the Raiders made a pursuit of Russell Wilson. But, you know, if the Seattle Seahawks come out and say, you know what, we've come to the end of the line of Russell Wilson, he obviously wants out, we're okay to trade him. The Raiders are one of the four teams that he's mentioning as a team that he would be interested in. It behooves the Raiders to make that call and push it as far as they possibly can within reason, because Russell Wilson is that good of a quarterback.
Yeah, and that's what we've been trying to say today, because a lot of people don't even want to talk about it because, listen, we would be just talking about Russell Wilson if the Raiders weren't mentioned. There wouldn't even be talk about this. But because they're mentioned in the same breath, and by the way, there's nothing else going on. I think the again, to me, the positive is they're mentioned. And to your point about the DC selection and how they were looking for defensive coordinators, how people were interested. I think to me that is, if I'm in Raider Nation, don't worry about trades and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to happen. But what I will tell you is that it just goes to show you that the Raiders as a destination, as a team that players want to go to, as a coach that players want to coach with, has elevated itself again because of the moves that the organization has made, including to Las Vegas, including the construction of Allegiant Stadium, including the construction of the facility I'm sitting in right now in Henderson, that has made this franchise that much more appealing to players, coaches, and executives. And so, to me, that's what you should take away, and it's a positive for Raider fans. And the Derek Carr trade stuff, just take it for what it is. It's just fodder during a dead period in the NFL. Vinny, have a great show coming up at 4 o'clock, my friend. I'm sure you'll be talking a lot more about this.
You got it. Thanks a lot. Have a good one. Take care, Evan.
Have a good show, Vinny.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Evan, this is our last show, but we'll be doing other shows when it comes to podcasts. So thank you, bro. I appreciate you being on every Thursday with us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. For Evan Grote, for Damon Cotton and Chris Chapman back in the studio, and thanks to the Raiders for hosting us here at the studio in Henderson today. This is Scott Colbrands, and this has been Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. We'll talk to you tomorrow.